The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
Cutting through the crap to bring you the very best interviews, insights and wisdom.
From the planet's most influential people in the accounting and fintech world. The Accounting Influencers Podcast.
And a big shout out to one of our special podcast partners, Dext.com. They wear Receipt Bank. They've been through a great rebound. There's a lot of great stuff going on there, Martin, isn't there, at Dext?
You know what, Rob? I always speak to accounting firms about having a strong, clearly articulated value proposition really early on in their messaging. You know, as soon as you see that firm, it tells you something. When I go to Dext.com, that's D-E-X-T.com, it says right in front of me, we make accountants and bookkeepers and the businesses you advise more productive, profitable and powerful with better data and insights. Those three alliterative P's there, productive, profitable and powerful. What a great clear value proposition. So as accounting practitioners listening to this, if you're looking to make your firm more productive, profitable and powerful, not just for you, but for the businesses you advise, go to Dext.com, that's D-E-X-T.com, and start a free trial or book a demo.
Love that. Dext gives you more time and better data to advise on your clients' businesses. So you accountants, get over to Dext.com. Thank you. So Martin, as we come on to our Here's What Works section, when I talk to accountants, as I'm sure you do, they always complain about how busy they are. And I'm just wondering, is that overload? Is that bad time management? Tell us what really works.
There are all kinds of different component parts here, Rob. You know, it could be workflow, it could be talent shortage, it could be all number of things. But we have to define busy, first of all, because I can't remember being a visitor to too many accounting firms that told me that they were anything other than maxed out, up against it and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, too busy to win new clients, too busy to do anything extra.
Now, I'm from a sales background, Rob. Now, busy in sales means something very different, because if you walk into the accounting firms that I've walked into, one thing you'll notice is that nobody's in a rush. So you don't see anybody flying from department to department with no time to talk to the person they pass. I've never seen that. I've never seen the managing partner say, "Don't, I can't talk right now. I've got to get this done." You know, what I see is a fairly leisurely pace in accounting firms. And that, for me, that's not maxed out. If you go into a sales environment, you will see people screaming and pushing you out of the way to get to where they need to get to hit the deadline they need to hit. So busy means a different thing in accounting, in my experience. But here's what we do know, that too many accounting firm careers were characterized by being, "I'm busy." And it never got through to, from "I'm busy" through to "I'm ragingly successful. I'm outrageously impactful. My impact has, my legacy is profound." We haven't had those legacies. We've had, "I was very busy and I made a lot of money. And I worked with some clients and I helped them."
It's in being, this kudos in being busy, Martin, isn't it? Because it's a badge of honor. I've got so many emails. I've got so many clients. I've got so many deals on the go. So you would have to say "I'm busy" to equate to I'm in demand. I'm successful.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot of what I call the deadline chasers, who are permanently busy, but not necessarily supremely profitable, not necessarily supremely happy in their career. They do what they do for the money it provides and the lifestyle it gives them. So here's what works, right? And I'm going to give you a number of examples here very briefly. But here's the principle, guys. You ready for this? In order for a partner in practice to free up their time, so if you're a partner in practice who wants to free up their time, they must first decrease their labor intensity. What do I mean by this? For many years, I have seen in my consulting role, I have seen firms who have, first of all, gone on the appointment, gone back with the proposal, wrote the proposal, handled the negotiation, closed the deal, did the onboarding, sent out the original initial invoice, and been permanently on call, including doing some of the work for the client. That's a job. That's not sustainable. Yes, it will. Yet it defines many of our listeners, I imagine. So decreasing labor intensity is the first instance. And here's a way a practice went about this. First of all, they set a minimum fee level for a partner. And they said, if I go on a meeting and we look at the opportunity and the proposal is less than X, then it's not me that handles it. Okay. So immediately a senior gets that job. and they have to look after it, and the client has to be happy with dealing with a senior, because if they want a partner, the price goes up. So for the very first time, a watermark was installed that says you don't get a partner for less than this in the practice, okay? The second one they did that I thought was fantastic is that they delegated the sales process beyond the final closing. So someone else did the fact find, okay? Somebody else did the workflow planning. Somebody else did the onboarding. Somebody else wrote the proposal, and the partner simply ticked off each process and approved each process and oversaw the process as opposed to doing the process.
That's an overseeing rather than, as you say, an action process, isn't it? Project management.
Yes. And then the third and final thing they did, and this is the critical thing, is that the needs of the client were met by the outcomes that were going to be provided rather than the services. What I mean is, in the proposal that the client received, it didn't say, we will carry out 4 tax returns at £250 per return. It wasn't that. It was, we will give you back peace of mind. We will allow you to sleep at night. We will handhold you towards your dreams. We will. And listen to this as a non-sales and marketing person. We're going, oh, for goodness sake. You know, flowery language. Here we go. Salesy, salesy, cheesy, cheesy. Cringe, toe curl. Yeah, but guess what? It works. So on that basis, they were talking to the client in the client's language. They weren't giving them technical jargon because the client isn't interested, nor does he understand technical jargon. So what they were doing is they were saying, do you want to buy these eventualities in your life? Would you like your business to be in this situation? Would you like us to improve your situation? And by doing that, the client's focus was not on how many hours it was going to take and not what the billable hour was and not what the menu of pricing was, but rather on the outcomes and whether they were prepared to invest the premium in the outcomes.
That's genius. And it chimes so well with what we were talking about recently about compelling stories for accountants and talking about the outcomes and the results that you generate, not the process that you go through.
Yeah. Not new information, but certainly not mastered by the profession. That's for sure, which is why we keep dealing with price sensitivity. So on that basis, by changing the perception of the client or of the why they were working together, what the collaboration was for in the first place, or delegating all of the administrative work that needs to be done, and by making sure that there was an anchor point to say, if it's below this, I don't deal with it. Nothing to do with me. All of a sudden, the partner was freeing up billable hour after billable hour after billable hour after billable hour. That free time can be re-employed however you see fit. That can be re-employed as much in investing in further in the practice as it can as being investing in your golf swing and your handicap. You know, it doesn't matter that it's your choice, it's your discretion when it's freed up for, but the point is it was freed up. And the partner's life went from being a very, very, very expensive accountant, you know, in terms of the work they were doing and what they were actually getting paid for it, costing their own firm a lot of money because they were having to do the work, through to someone who was a value creator for the firm. There's the phrase, guys, a value creator for the firm. They created value because they had a client focused on outcomes, a team dealing with the minutiae, shall we say, and making sure that profitability held steady because there was a bottom line on price. So my question to you is, do you want to be a value creator in your firm or a deadline chaser? Because if you want to be a value creator, then those three things are what works this week to make that happen. I've seen it in practice.
And thank you to our special sponsors, iris.co.uk. Martin, you saw a great video just recently from Iris, didn't you?
Yeah, what I think people don't understand about Iris is they were ahead of the game for MTD phase one, because they were the first software vendor to be listed as approved by the HMRC for MTD filing. And guess what? They're fully prepared for the next. So they've got an MTD webinar on demand that you can catch up with at any time. Rob, where do they go to see this?
It's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. That stands for Making Tax Digital for our international listeners. And there's some great stuff there that you need to know to guide you through the whole Making Tax Digital initiative. So iris.co.uk/MTD webinar. Right, Martin?
That's right. So wherever you are in your journey, Iris know that they have the knowledge and tools to help you in the next steps. That's iris.co.uk/MTD webinar.